Please be seated. Between the words that are heard and the words that are spoken, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. There are moments in the Gospel of John where Jesus seems to know something without having seen it visually with his eyes. The one that might spring to mind as being most familiar is his meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well, where he knows about her many husbands and current living situation, and she runs to the people of the town and says, "Come, meet a man who told me everything I ever did." This morning, with Nathaniel, we encounter a similar situation. We are at the point in the story where Jesus is inviting disciples to come and follow him. Prior to the piece we heard this morning, Andrew fetches his brother Simon after being called. Simon, of course, is renamed Peter, and off they go to follow Jesus. Next, Jesus finds Philip, and a similar formula occurs. Jesus says, "Come and follow me," and Philip goes off to find Nathanael, who is skeptical, if not downright prejudiced, when he hears where Jesus is from. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael, we know, is from Cana. Perhaps they had a football team rivalry, not dissimilar to Newcastle and Sunderland, where obviously Newcastle is the best. There must have been something that made him say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" We don't get to hear exactly what it was, but read it as an understanding that there is a general prejudice about the area that Jesus comes from. Perhaps in those days it was a bit of a hillbilly backwater, as other places in perhaps the northern continent of America would be considered today. Anyhow, then comes the weird bit. Jesus makes a statement about Nathanael that leaves us wondering, what did Jesus know about Nathanael's time under that fig tree? And what happened that would lead him to call Nathanael an Israelite in whom there was no deceit? Again, we don't get to hear what happened. But whatever it was, it impacted Nathanael enough for him to be convinced that this man was Jesus, the Messiah, and was indeed the Son of God. In short, he had a sudden revelation or epiphany about who Jesus was. And then Jesus goes on to say, "Well, guess what? You ain't seen nothing yet, mate. You will see greater things than these if you come and follow me." And off we go. I think that this passage illustrates for us some of the skepticism that we live with as the modern church today. I think that given all of the bad publicity and colonial partnering the church has done over the centuries, people are skeptical about the church and may well ask, can anything good come out of the church? This is frustrating at best for us because we are a community of people trying to serve God and show God's goodness to the world in what we do here together and to the best of our ability in our daily lives. When you feel like you're doing your best, it is hard to hear someone criticize or speculate that nothing good can come of your faith life or your efforts. We can feel misunderstood. However, history is clear that the church has indeed at times been full of deceit. So what to do about it in 2024? Where is the good news for those of us in Powell River? One guy goes to get another, and that guy has an epiphany about Jesus. Good for him. What's that got to do with us? The answer, as always, is everything. Think for a moment about how you came to believe in God. How did you come to church the first time? How did you meet Jesus the first time? Did someone take you as a child? Were you invited to something at a church? Did a friend say to you, "Hey, come check this out"? Was it more subtle? Did the Spirit call you to church? You know, that feeling where you know something is missing and you can't quite put your finger on what it was, but eventually you found your way to church and realized that's what it was. These are all authentic calls to faith, and perhaps help us to identify with Nathaniel or Simon when we think of the first time that we went. But what about if we take a peek over Philip's shoulder? Philip finds something that he thinks is so incredible that it's worth sharing with his friend. Something good, something exciting. And he runs to get his friend because he wants him to meet this Jesus guy too. He invites Nathaniel to come and see, and Jesus does the rest. Inviting people to church is difficult. We are worried about the skepticism that exists about the church, and let's face it, no one likes being rejected. How many of us have listened to those cold calls for ages because we don't want to tell that poor guy on the end of the phone, "Get lost, mate, I'm not interested." I also remember that when we were discussing the future of our church here in Pearl River last year, some of you expressed concerns that people wouldn't want to come and hang out with, I quote, "a bunch of old people." However, 1 Samuel has something for us on that too. Samuel, the youngster in the story, hears God calling but doesn't know what's going on. He assumes it's Eli. And he eventually, as we see, needs the guidance of Eli, his elder, his mentor, the old fellow with fading sight and a couple of badly behaved sons. Sometimes we might think that younger people don't value their elders enough. But I think when this crosses our minds, often what is happening is we are reflecting on a child or grandchild in our life who says that we are not cool enough to hang out with anymore. Or we might be devaluing ourselves because we don't understand who the young people around us are. We don't understand their world. And I wonder if it is possible that we might be judging younger people with the same judgment that we fear receiving from them. The truth is, if you talk to people who are younger than you, and I'm sure we can find at least a couple, and you ask them about their grandparents or aunts or uncles, for the most part, you will hear stories that contain wisdom learned or fond memories of events from childhood. For example, when I think of my grandparents, I think of two people who have inspired and shaped me into the adult I am today in ways that I'm aware of and in ways that I have no idea, I'm sure. When I think of the mentors I've had in my faith, the people who have listened and who have given me advice, solicited or unsolicited, when I was feeling lost along the way or didn't understand what God wanted from me, the people that spring to mind usually have gray hair. Samuel and Eli demonstrate for us that age in a faith community is indeed just a number, and there is a role for people who are older in any community, action or activity. And like it or not, younger people are looking to people with white hair to give them a nudge or lead them on their way, even if they don't know it or even if they are embarrassed to admit it. Given that we are a church who contain generally an older bunch, with our average being in the 70s, we have a collective wisdom and a gained confidence to engage with the people around us and be the ones who say, "Come and see," or "Maybe try this." We also have the wisdom to know, because some of us have been through it, that when people are struggling with the things that everybody struggles with when they are 20 or 30 or 40, things have really not changed that much. There's just more technology. Often, all that is really needed is a listening ear and a different perspective, a wise perspective, some might say. So this week, let's learn from our elders, from the wisdom of those who have gone before us, from people like Samuel, who didn't get it right all the time, and neither will we, and be the ones who say, "Come and see," when the opportunity presents itself, or be the ones who sit and listen when the opportunity presents itself. Come and see this book club that I'm part of. Come and see this knitting group that I get together with. Come and see what we're doing in the gardens at our church. Come and see. Come and have a cup of coffee. I dare you to try it. I promise you, Jesus will do the rest, just as he did for Philip, and just as he's probably done for most of us here in this room. I don't know what proof we need, but I think if we're looking for a sign from God, this could be it. Amen.